Do you believe that God speaks to you? Ooh, I see some head shaking. I love it. Do you believe that he only speaks to certain people? Maybe people with certain gifts. Maybe gifts that you don't have. Do you believe that he wants to speak to you? Sometimes things can hinder us or feel like a barrier in hearing God's voice speaking clearly to us. And that can keep us from entering in that upward prayer of time of prayer. And if we can't hear God personally, we're missing out on a vital part of the relationship that he wants to have with us. And it will affect how we pray upward, inward, and outward. To hear God's voice is so life-giving. I think it's the best part of the relationship we get to have with him. And today I want to help remove any blockages or hindrances that we may be carrying that prevent us from hearing his voice clearly. There are a lot of things that can cause hindrances. There are a lot of things that can cause barriers. This is not an exhaustive list that we're going to talk about today. But these are the things that I sense God wanted to speak to us about. So today, we're going to look, oops, I have a clicker. Oh, let's try this. Scott. Help me, Daddy. Oh, there we go. Woo! So today we're going to be looking at hindrances, barriers, and promises that come with God's voice. There are three hindrances we're going to be hitting on today. We're going to be hitting on the hindrance of busyness. We're going to look at warfare, and we're going to look at comparison. And we're also going to be looking at the barriers. We're going to spend a little bit more time on the barriers today. The first barrier that we're going to look at is that God doesn't speak to me. We're going to look at disobedience. That's always a fun one. And unforgiveness, which is also a fun one. And we'll also be looking at the promises that God gives us within these hindrances, within these barriers. So that's the good stuff that we're going to be looking at. So we are going to have some fun today, right? Everybody's looking like, what? So with the removal of these hindrances and the barriers, we can experience a life-giving, abundant communion with God. So before we dive in, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you do want to speak to your children, like a father that wants to speak to his kids, and like a friend who wants to speak with their friend. And I thank you that you have gone before and already even started to touch on some things in our hearts and in our minds that might prevent us from connecting with you in a deep way. I pray in Jesus' name that you come into this message, that you come into our hearts, that you come into our minds and set us free today. For your glory, in Jesus' name. So, hindrances, we're going to start there today. It says in Acts 28:30 through 31, they're talking about Paul in this passage. It said he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, and he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness and without hindrance. I think that's something that we can all aspire to, right? I think that Paul was able to do this because he clearly heard God speaking to him and guiding him in his ministry. A hindrance is something that obstructs us. It makes it hard or challenging to hear God's voice speaking directly to us. The good news is that God can equip us to overcome these hindrances. So let's dive into the first hindrance of busyness. We're all very busy, aren't we? Just try. Jim's like, no. I know we're really busy when we try and schedule some kind of group event with like more than 3 people. And you try and look at everybody's schedule and it's like 3-4 weeks down the road. Everybody is really busy. Are we living life-giving lives if we aren't experiencing God speaking to us personally, though? I think if we're not, it may feel like we're just chugging through. going about our days, but not really experiencing the abundant life that Jesus promises us in Scripture. We're all busy. I think we have to learn how to practice stillness, literally being still where we're not moving. And as we learn how to be still in that place, God can speak to us a little bit easier. And then as we get to know that and practice that, we're going to be able to transition that into daily life. So when you're doing the dishes, you might be doing something, but you can still be at stillness and at rest inside your heart so that God can still speak to you. There's a lot of things to do. We might work. We might have families. We might have laundry to do. We might have dishes. We might have grocery shopping. Fill in the blank. We're all busy. But like the story of Martha and Mary in Luke 10, Jesus gives us both the hindrance and the promise that we need within our busyness. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And as she and her sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." Isn't that awesome? But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, that which will not be taken away from her." Martha was distracted with her busyness. She was distracted from spending time with Jesus. We may work, we may have families, we may have things that we need to do. I'm not saying quit all that, but I'm saying the mental space that busyness occupies, I think sometimes it occupies more than it needs to and more than Jesus wants it to. Don't we all struggle with that though? Getting the kids to bed, I'll spend time with God later. I didn't get to do that today. I'll drive to work. I'll pray on the way to work tomorrow. And just like feeling like we're cramming God into the open spaces that we have. Are you trying to squeeze God in, or are you making space for him? Jesus says that in her busyness, it was causing her to be anxious and troubled. Usually, that's a good indication if you're experiencing anxiousness, if you're experiencing trouble, if you're not at rest inside, that might be an invitation for you to stop doing what you're doing and spend some time in prayer, spend some time reading the Bible, spending some time just being still and enjoying God's presence. For me, that's always a good indication. We must make stillness and listening to God's voice the first priority in our lives. Instead of trying to cram him into our daily schedule, create space for him first, and then put the other pieces of our schedule into place. Test it out. Schedule a time to pray sometime during the day, and notice how much is going to come in and try and rob you of that time. Something else will get scheduled. You'll get an invitation to go somewhere. You're going to try and wake up in the morning, but you're going to go to bed late, and you're not going to sleep, so you're not going to get up in the morning, and then it's just like a cycle. When you put that priority with God, you're going to see where the warfare is going to come in and try and stop you from that. There's a promise that Jesus is giving us within this passage. Mary has chosen the good portion, and that's better. And it will not be taken away from her. So what's the good portion? It's sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to his voice. The good portion that won't be taken away is the relationship that we have with Jesus. It won't be taken away. It will be enhanced. It will grow. We will experience a peace inside when we spend time with Jesus. And we're not going to have to struggle, I don't think, as much with our trouble and our anxiousness. Our security is established in these times that we prioritize spending time with Jesus, which leads us to our second hindrance today. Warfare. It's good. It's it's not good. It's good to talk about it. I say we're going to touch on warfare today because warfare is a huge topic, and we're going to be doing another message on this at some point in the Sunday service. So today we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I just want to touch on a little bit of warfare just to kind of get us thinking about it. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus has come that we may have life and life abundantly. The enemy has one mission, and it comes in our ability to hear God's voice in three different ways. He comes to steal our time and our focus. He wants to kill our communion with God, and he wants to destroy our security. Hindrance is the work of the enemy. It's not God. And there will be warfare around us getting still and spending time with God. One way that we can start to overcome warfare is just to begin to recognize where it's manifesting. It can look like a lot of different things. You may not sleep well the night before that you want to spend time with God. I already said this, but it's that cycle of planning to spend time and something is going to come and try and rob the focus and the time that we have. You may not feel well, which the enemy may use to tempt you to not come to church, not come to life group, not spend time with him and hear his voice. You may suddenly get a lot of invitations. Plan a spiritual retreat where you're going away for like a 4 or 5 hour period of time. You're going to get so many invitations. It's going to almost become kind of funny, like, oh my gosh, are you serious? You may start to hear a voice inside of your head hurling accusations at you. And that's going to try and rob you of the security that you have in who God says you are. So voices like, you don't hear God anyway, why spend time with him? He's not answering your prayers, why do you keep praying? People don't like you, why are you going? You feel, you know, I mean, it goes on and on and on. That's not God, guys. That's the enemy. And he's trying to rob you of security that he wants to give you. And when you do sit still, you may find that your mind starts to go in lots of different directions, and it may be hard to focus. But I promise the more you practice it, the easier it will become. And the enemy's not going to come at you with the warfare as much when he knows that you're not going to submit yourself to it. They're annoying distractions. They're just annoying. It's nothing that we have to fear. It's just annoying. And when you get annoyed enough, when I get annoyed enough, I just stop and I'm not going to yield to it anymore. If I hear the voice of the enemy, then I'm going the opposite direction and I'm going to do the thing that he's telling me not to do. Right? We have to fight for our time with God. And it really helps when you're in community with one another because we can help each other fight together. That's why part of why the church is created. So we're going to talk more about warfare in future messages. But I just want to start today to kind of start us thinking about recognizing the patterns that come against us spending time with God alone, spending time with God at church, spending time at life groups with other believers, just to start to notice if there are any patterns. And just to become aware of those, that's the first step. When we become aware of them, we can declare in Jesus' name that we sense the warfare and that we're not going to submit ourselves to it and that he has to leave in Jesus' name. That's the first part, is recognizing it, speaking in the name of Jesus, trusting that it will flee. We have to fight for it. We have to push for our time with God, even if it's hard. The more you recognize it, the more free you'll become of it, the more you're going to recognize the annoyance of the enemy, and he's going to lose that power that that warfare has. The last hindrance this morning is comparison. I like this quote. Comparison grows when we see the world through a distorted view. There are many different ways that God speaks to his children. He speaks through scriptures. He speaks through the voice of the Holy Spirit. He speaks in worship, in prayer, in dreams, in visions, through others, through inner peace, through circumstances, through spiritual gifts. This is just part of it. If you want to learn more about how God does speak to you, we do that a lot through our discipleship relationships. That's one area that we really do spend quite a bit of time on, is discovering for yourself how God is going to speak to you directly. But comparison becomes a hindrance for us because people hear God differently. They may hear people differently than I hear, than Jill hears, than Craig hears, than Jackie hears. If we hear differently and if we feel like we're not really hearing God's voice, we can stop appreciating how God does speak to us. We can stop practicing and entering into that relationship that God wants us to enter into. When we compare how God speaks differently to others, in essence, we are saying that we're not grateful for how God does speak to us. And it makes us, I think, a lot of times feel like there's something lacking in our relationship that Susie Q might have. Have you ever compared how you hear or your ability to hear God's voice with someone else? Did it ever encourage you? Or did it leave you feeling a little deflated, defeated? If it didn't make you feel encouraged, maybe it's something that we don't do. Teddy Roosevelt said, comparison is the thief of joy. Hearing God is a gift. How he created you is a gift. How he created you to hear his voice is a gift. He has given you spiritual gifts to use and to bring glory to himself. God gives us a promise in James 1:16-17. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift comes from God. How he created you is a gift. You are all uniquely and wonderfully made. Let that sink in. You are uniquely and wonderfully made. He has created you to hear his voice in a unique way. And we can trust him because he's good. So how he's created us to hear his voice is good. And we just need to discover how he speaks to us. And it might be different than Susie Q who sits next to you. This will deepen the security that we all have in our relationship with God. Let's celebrate in one another how we all hear God's voice, because it is different. There's a lot of different ways that we do here in this church, and I think it's really beautiful. Instead of taking your time and your energy to focus on comparison, I would encourage us to focus on how God does want to speak to us and learn how to connect with him that way. Learn how to grow. Spend our time doing that because it is meant to be a gift. When we appreciate how God speaks to us and embrace it rather than thinking that there's something lacking, we can have an abundant communion time with him. Hindrances are smaller objects that inhibit our ability to hear God's voice. They're like this wooden fence. They're there, but they're a little bit easier to get around. You can go over the fence. You can go around the fence. Maybe you kick the fence. They're annoying, but they're not going to completely prevent you from experiencing communion with God as you listen for his voice. Barriers, though, actually stop us from hearing God's voice. They're like this brick wall, and they're harder to break through. And most of the time, all of the time, we can't push through by ourselves. We have to have God come into that place, and he will remove the wall. But sometimes we have to participate with it, don't we? So the first barrier I want to talk about today is something that I think some of us here believe. It's the belief that God doesn't speak to me. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever said it out loud? Let's go to John 10. talked a little bit about that earlier. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they don't recognize the voice of strangers. We're all sheep, guys. Isn't that encouraging? We're all sheep. That's what this passage is talking about. It says the sheep hear his voice. It also says that they will follow his voice. If we know his voice, that means he is speaking to us in a way that we can recognize it and know it is God speaking to us. Let's look at verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is saying, not only do I speak in such a way that you'll recognize it, sheep, sheep. He does it before we become part of the fold. He does that before we come into relationship with him. He's talking in this that they will listen to my voice. Those are the ones that haven't yet put their faith in him. So he does speak, and he speaks to us long before we put our faith in Jesus. That should really be encouraging to us. It means he does speak to us. When I first began to understand how God was speaking to me personally, I realized, wow, he was speaking to me long before. All those awesome thoughts I had, they were not my thoughts. He was speaking in a way that I later began to recognize, oh my gosh, he was speaking the whole time. And then when you get that, oh my gosh, then it becomes fuel to really listen for him now. When you know he's been speaking the whole time. When we believe that he does not speak to us, we partner with the enemy who tries to rob us of that part of relationship with God. And believing that God doesn't speak to us is a lie. And we know it's a lie because it goes against Scripture. If this is a barrier for you, please renounce the lie. To renounce means to give it up, to refuse to follow it, obey it, or recognize any further from this moment forward. I will not believe that God does not speak to me. And if that's all we get today, that's great. That's a huge step forward. We must come out of agreement with the enemy, and we must come into agreement with truth. If you're not sure how God speaks to you yet, that's okay. We can figure it out. There are people here that can help you figure it out. But there's a promise that as we listen for his voice and recognize that he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Guys, he knows every single one of you by name. And he knows literally how many hairs are on your head. He knows you personally. And it doesn't matter what you've done, maybe that you feel like he doesn't like or maybe he wouldn't want you to do. He still knows you. He still sees you. He still knows the number of hairs on your head. And today can be a new day where you come out of agreement with the enemy and come into agreement with Jesus. Believing what the Bible says is true is going to be our next barrier. Disobedience. Before we talk about disobedience, I need to drink water. How y'all doing? I try not to do like, what they call it? Drinking from a fire hose? Is that what they say? Are y'all doing all right? Fabulous. Okay. Disobedience. Disobedience is the refusal to comply with what God says in the Bible and what he speaks to us directly. Being tempted to obey is not a sin. Being tempted to gossip is not a sin. The action is the sin. If you choose to come into agreement with that thing that we're not supposed to do, that's when it becomes sin. So I just want to make that clear. Being tempted or hearing a thought is not sin. It's going through with it and acting on it that is. Sin creates separation between us and God. The more we disobey, the wider the separation, the wider the chasm, the harder it is to come back when that chasm has built up so wide. God can come into those places so we don't have to feel bad. But I think it's more about recognizing, okay, is there something that I am doing that is not in accordance with the Bible? And knowing that it's going to cause a separation. That's how it works. Disobedience can look like a lot of different things. It can be outright refusal. I've said that. I'm not doing that. Are you kidding me? No. It's not good, is it? Partial disobedience, where I will do part of what God asks me, but I'm going to not do part. And then that's me deciding what I am and I'm not going to do. So that's disobedience. Delayed obedience is, I'm going to do it later. The danger with that is maybe we won't get to it later. All of these are rooted in a lack of trust in God, and I've done them all, so I'm not up here clean myself. If you don't trust God, you're probably going to have a wall there, and you're not going to be able to hear from him as clearly as you could if the wall isn't there. If we are to grow in our relationship with God and become strong people of prayer, we must learn to obey. If our mouths say that we believe, but our actions don't back up that belief with obedience, it shows a weakness in our belief. It doesn't mean that we don't believe. It just means that there's a weakness in that area. And you'll know once there's a weakness, that's where the enemy's going to come in and try and pick at you in that area of weakness. So if you discover that maybe, oh gosh, maybe I have a weak faith, that's okay. Recognizing it is always the first step. When we recognize it, we can start to ask Jesus to come into that place. We can begin to ask him to strengthen our faith. And he will do it, because he wants us to be secure in him. Obedience should be natural, and it should be an outgrowth of our faith in God. He that obeys, or she that obeys, trusts him. He who trusts God obeys him. They work together. I want to read some promises in the book of Deuteronomy today. What? You're going to say something out of the Old Testament? I don't like the Old Testament. I like the Old Testament. So Deuteronomy 28 says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All of these blessings will come to you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, and you will be blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and you will be blessed when you go out. God will bless you if you obey. He will provide for you. He'll provide for your family. You'll be blessed everywhere you put your foot if you obey. When we listen for God's voice and when we obey, that's when we're going to see God's power come in. And that's really fun. So I want to share a story that my friend shared with me recently, just as kind of a picture of obedience. Her friend was on outreach in Thailand at a mall in downtown Bangkok. The reason that they were there, even in the mall in the first place, was because his wife's shoes had been stolen the day before. They had arrived in country literally the day before, had not been there 24 hours, and somebody had stolen his wife's shoes. And he was really angry. He was really angry. He was really annoyed to even have to go there. He was sitting quietly by himself, and he heard the Lord tell him to go stand on his head next to a Coke machine. He argued just a little bit. He thought he was going crazy, but it just kept coming. Stand on your head next to the Coke machine. He felt ridiculous, and he was really getting annoyed with God because it was so ridiculous. But he did it. And he stood on his head for as long as he could, and then he fell over. A man sitting on the bench came over and asked him if he was a Christian. And my friend said yes, and he started to cry. That man had gone and gotten a prescription at the mall, and he was planning to go home and take it all and take his life. And he prayed, God, if you're real, make somebody stand on their head next to the Coke machine. This man, although he was annoyed and angry with God, he obeyed. He was blessed because he knew that he had saved this man's life. Obviously, the man was blessed because God became very real for him that day. If you're currently struggling to hear God's voice, go back to the last thing he asked you to do. Did you do it? Sometimes those things that we miss, we can't really go back and do them. When we were in Namibia, a group of women went over there, and we had gone to a hospital, and we were encouraged not to be conspicuous. Like, don't let people know that you're praying. Don't let people know that anything of faith is going on. And we went up to the front of the building, and there was this man lying on the floor before he went into the hospital. He was laying on a piece of cardboard. And it felt like an audible voice to me that said, go and tell him to pick up his mat and walk, that he's been healed. And I didn't do it. And I have regretted that so much, because I feel like that was a moment I missed. I can't go back and tell that man. But I did apologize to God, and I said, God, I'm so sorry. Let me have another opportunity. So if it's something that he's told you to do that you haven't done and you can do it, go do it. If it's something that you really can't go back and do, then just ask for forgiveness. Tell God you're sorry and ask for another opportunity. Because of that, I've become pretty quick to obey. Not 100%. Sometimes I still argue. Wow. sometimes I still argue. I try not to. But even if it sounds ridiculous, like going and standing on your head next to a Coke machine, I just want to encourage you guys to be obedient and do it. Even if you don't understand it, even if it doesn't make sense, because you will be blessed as you obey. God will be blessed, and so will others. The last part I want to talk about today is unforgiveness. When we refuse to forgive, not only are we being disobedient to a direct command from Jesus himself, but it does hurt our prayer life. When we're disobedient, I like this picture, it's so true. When we're disobedient, the wall between us and God can remain in place. I've done that before. I'm not doing it. Anybody else done that, or am I the only one? Nobody wants to give me encouragement. Okay. So why is forgiveness so important? The answer is found in Matthew 6, 14, and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men of their sins, your Father will not forgive you. Forgiving and being forgiven are inseparable twins. When a person refuses to forgive another, he is hurting himself because his lack of forgiveness can take hold of him and make him or her bitter inside. If we refuse to forgive others, that bitterness can begin to poison us. And it's going to eventually affect our prayer lives. It's going to eventually affect how we hear God. We will always forever come in contact with people that will hurt us because we live in a fallen world. But bitterness building in your heart is eventually going to destroy you. And it's going to destroy your communion with God. It's how bitterness works. Forgiveness is the antidote to bitterness so that you can grow and be free of unforgiveness. Is there anyone that God wants you to forgive, to be free in communion with him? Maybe God wants you to forget someone who hurt you with their words. Maybe God wants you to forgive someone who hurt you with their actions. This, I think, is a big one for some of us here today. Maybe God wants you to forgive yourself for mistakes that you've made and let yourself off the hook knowing that you're forgiven. Maybe you need to forgive God for something that you feel he did wrong, like taking a loved one from you too soon or not protecting you from someone who hurt you, not answering a prayer like you wanted him to. God doesn't need our forgiveness, but if we hold an offense in our heart toward him, if we are bitter toward him, he does want us to bring that to him so he can set us free from it. He will exchange our bitterness for something better, something more beautiful, something that will breathe life into us. I'm going to share another story. And for those of us that attend Thursday night women's group, and you sound like, oh my gosh, she's sharing a story. We talked about confidentiality. What is she doing? I did ask permission to share this, so I have permission. A friend said that God had been speaking to her quite a bit about going to have a conversation with a friend and asking her friend for forgiveness for something that had happened. She fought it because her friend is the one that hurt her. She didn't really do anything in the situation. But God kept encouraging her, and so she finally set up a meeting with this woman. She asked her friend for forgiveness for her part in the situation, and then her friend promptly said, I don't need to ask for forgiveness because I didn't do anything wrong, which is sort of what she expected would happen. But she realized in that moment, like, everything lifted. There was a lightning that happened inside of her that she did not know she was carrying. And once she forgave, she felt completely different. And her friend never apologized, never owned it, and it was okay because she had let it go inside of herself. The passage in Matthew lists both the barrier and the promise. If we forgive, we will be forgiven. They work together. So again, I want to just have you sit here for a minute. Is there anyone that God is asking you to forgive today? When forgiveness comes, the bitterness and the barriers just fall away. Sometimes it can be helpful to pray with people if you have places of unforgiveness that you just can't get past. I've had those times in my life where I needed help. I knew the wall was there. I knew what I needed to do. I just couldn't make myself forgive. I needed Jesus to come into that place. And I needed friends to come alongside me that could help me have Jesus come into that place. There are people here that can pray freedom prayers for you if you know that this is an area that you are holding on to. Come talk to Craig after the service if you want to do that. Allowing God to remove the barrier can help you have life and an abundant communion time with him. We've covered a lot of ground today. I want to give us a little time to be still with God so that there's some space for him to speak to us. If the worship team wants to come up, Noah, 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 Noah. He's like, please stop. You did so great for your first time. Woo! We're going to dive more into hindrances and barriers in our life groups this week. So if you feel like, okay, there might be something here, please come to group because we'll be able to dive in a little bit deeper, support one another, pray for one another, and hopefully we'll all have a little bit more freedom than we did last week. So, y'all know me, right? We have to apply this, right? We have to just ask Jesus if there's anything inside. It's probably not. So don't worry. Don't worry, Jackie. She's given me the way. So let's bow our heads. I'll just ask some questions and then you can ask God silently, just come into agreement with him. Jesus, we thank you that you came to set the captives free. And we acknowledge that there are a lot of different ways that you want to speak to your children. So we just ask you, Jesus, are there any hindrances to our hearing your voice? Make it personal. Jesus, are there hindrances to my hearing your voice? What might he be saying is the specific area of hindrance for you? The hindrances are annoying, but the barriers are harder. So Jesus, do I have any barriers to my hearing your voice? Jesus, how do you want me to begin this week with you? Is there anything you want us to do? Jesus has spoken into you. I just pray that you would say this with me. Jesus, would you help me obey and follow through with that thing? What promise do you want me to hold on to today as I leave, Jesus? Jesus, would you pinpoint where you want me to start so that through the removal of these hindrances and barriers, I can hear your voice and I can experience a life-giving, abundant communion with you. In Jesus' name.